Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
What image would you like to leave with the person who is looking at your photo or your painting? Now, I'm not an artist, and so I would never pick up a paintbrush or a pen to draw myself, because you would never guess it was me. But I could use words, because words paint pictures, don't they? So if I say grumpy, does it paint a picture? If I say happy, it paints a picture. So I could put words into this frame to produce some kind of self-portrait, to communicate words on how I see myself or how other people see me. I might start with, oh, loads of people say it, and I think it too. I'm a bit like my mum. You know, I can see some mannerisms and some expressions that I would say just like her. My mum, when she was on the phone, you see, I'm all hands. I remember once sitting there watching her do this with her hand when she was on the telephone. Now, some of you might just be like this on the phone. No hands. But I'm, when I talk, even though the person isn't there, I'm doing this. So I would communicate myself as expressive, as somebody who longs to express beyond words with kind of actions. There's a family resemblance, but I have my own characteristics, one of which, and I'm not going to share many, you'll be thrilled to hear. I want the quickest route to everything. It's part of who I am. I want it, and I want it quick. So if I'm cleaning, I want it done quick. Well, but quick. If I'm painting, I want it done quick. If I employ somebody to do something, could it be quick? And so that is actually some part of my characteristic, and that's what I would want to communicate, or I would have to communicate, because that's really how I would see myself. For you, it may be very different. You might put different things, you have different values on how you see yourself in your picture frame. And then I went on to think about how the enemy would paint me. And how the enemy would paint you. Because he too wants to put things in a frame so that what we see and what he communicates is something we will believe. Am I talking to people who know that the enemy is at work to say things and to put things upon us that actually are a bad image, a negative image? He would communicate things that he wants me to see about myself. Some of the very obvious things that the enemy says to every believer, and you are not on your own, is you're not good enough. Anybody ever heard that one? Okay, so the enemy wants to paint a picture of your life that you're not good enough, in whatever area it might be, but he brings this negative slant on you as a person. You're always going to struggle with sin. There's another one. You're a failure in character. Or, on the other side of the coin, you're a great person. Everybody just needs to find out how great you are, which is called pride. And, of course, the enemy is always working to cause us to be full of pride in our lives. But he tries to paint the picture and give these suggestions so that we adopt them. Another thing he might say is people don't like you. And that can be crippling in the way that you behave relationally. It can stop you being part of what God is doing in the family of God if you think you came here this morning thinking people don't like you. That is what the enemy wants to put in your frame. You're not valued. That's another thing he wants to paint about you. Or you're too old or too young. He actually uses whatever he can. God uses where we are in life to celebrate it. Thank you, Jesus. That's why when I'm old, I need to celebrate it. When I'm my age, I need to celebrate it. Because I am what I am in Christ. And I have a positive future and hope today. And that will never leave me. Thank you, Jesus. He also says you can't do certain things because you're single. So he paints a negative picture of singleness. Ooh, now that's a good one. The most famous singles were Jesus and Paul. I don't see a negative picture there. But Satan wants to make singleness negative and less than marriage. On the other hand, if you're married, he might say, this is a bad thing. You're married, you can't do this. And so he produces a negative picture about anything in our life, so it reduces us to a low-level living. Okay, so this empty picture, we could put a self-portrait in, or the enemy might want to draw these kind of pictures. We're going to look at, really, some other suggestions about what your portrait might be. A nice person. Praise God, I've been delivered from being nice. You know what I mean? The scripture never says nice. It says love one another. Nice is not a biblical word, actually. It's a good word, but it's not biblical. Popular. Shy. Hurt. Bad-tempered. Negative, pessimistic, not good enough, dissatisfied, a victim of circumstances, weak-willed, anxious, moody, unable to change. Now, you could be living with that picture or some of those things this morning. There may be things in there that you say, well, that kind of describes a certain characteristic of mine. Let's look at more interesting news. What if God was to paint your picture? How would it differ from what you say or what your family says you look like? How would it differ from what the enemy says? And how would it change you? In your perception of you. I believe that there are different pictures we can look at. We can look at what we've seen in our experience. We can even spend our time on what the enemy says we are and try our hardest to be what he says we are. To not be, sorry, what he says we are. Or we can take on and look at a different picture or a different portrait. Because the Bible tells us, and this is the truth about the whole world, whatever you look at long enough, you will become. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So if you think according to the portrait the enemy is showing you, or according to your natural experience, you will live out your life according to what you are thinking of yourself. But God has an unchanging portrait of you, fixed in the galleries of heaven. It's awesome. That he has already painted your picture. And it isn't changing. Amen. Now, work with me on this, because this is going to mess up some of your theology. Maybe. And it's going to deal a death blow to what you think about yourself. And I'd like you to welcome it, if it's in the Word today. I was painting on my day off on Friday. It's a lovely thing to do on your day off. And it's kind of a little bit... I like to listen to music or put on a teaching tape, teaching CD or podcast. And I had this podcast on coming through. I know, tape. I've got to get rid of that word. Tape. I mean, it's the dinosaur age. I know what it's a podcast, but it's in me to speak. And I'm listening to this podcast from a famous, very strong, vibrant church in the States. And I'm definitely not in any way criticizing the church, because it's a happening church. But they had a visiting speaker there. I'd never heard of his name, and I don't remember it, which is good. And I'm painting away, listening to this preaching, because I love to build myself up, not just on what I get personally, but some sound teaching, and I'm listening. And over this podcast, I hear this guy say, well, as Christians, we all have a dark side. And I stopped painting. I looked at the speaker and I went, you what? Now, if you don't know the truth, you might end up agreeing with that. But in my spirit, because that's where the spirit of truth lives, I had this revulsion against that. We all have a dark side. I thought, calm down. Calm down. It's all right. They might mean we can actually occasionally sin. And we can live in the flesh as Christians. So I'm listening to it. Oh no, he doesn't believe that. He believes we all have a dark side. That actually we will never be free from sin. And I mean, all the alarm bells, I turned it off. I said, how dare anybody disagree with the word of God? And I thought, this guy had spent 5 years studying at theological college. So then I began to doubt myself, and I'm going, oh gosh, you know, I ought to listen to people who've been, you know, he's just become a doctor in theology. He's planted loads of churches. He must be a happening guy. But he's teaching the whole church that we have a dark side. Now, only the word can divide between soul and spirit. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, is living and powerful. Not the preaching of kingdom faith, not the preaching of Judith Butler, but the word of God is living and powerful, able to divide between soul and spirit. So I'm like, right, I believe I know what's right, but let me check it out again. So come with me on a journey to Galatians. And you'll find whether you have a dark side. We don't have a dark side. Galatians. Chapter, well, we start, just turn to the beginning of Galatians. You see, if the church, and that would include every person here, is called the pillar and ground of truth, not just the preachers, but you, as a member of the church of Jesus Christ, if you are the pillar and ground of truth, to which the whole world will come to find truth, then we better know what's true. And we better know what Jesus has done. Okay? In Galatians, this whole book was written out of Paul's extreme concern about the church. And this concern was based on another gospel being preached amongst the churches in Galatia that wasn't the gospel he gave them about Jesus Christ. And he actually said, this gospel is actually no gospel at all. So in other words, it's not good news. Because only the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Any other gospel is bad news. And so he says there's a different gospel coming in. And these churches, these words through these gospels, which weren't the gospel of Jesus, these words were painting a picture that wasn't from God in the church. And so the frame was being filled with the wrong gospel. And how dangerous is that? I don't think you and I really understand how dangerous it is to accommodate a little error. Particularly in foundational truths. And Paul was incensed about this false teaching. Which is going on, obviously, in the world today, and may even come to your living room. Via God Channel. Or download it on your computer. So what gospel do we believe? And what actually do we believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul said, you have been saved, but you are returning to a powerless gospel. So these are Christians, born again believers, that believe in Jesus who died and rose again from the dead. These are Christians he is speaking to. And they were going back to a gospel of self-improvement, which is no gospel at all. They were going back to applying works to their salvation. To applying self-improvement to their Christian life. How can I improve my life? Was the teaching of that day. Isn't that subtle? Because we all know that we want to be more like Jesus. But it is the foundation on which we stand that affects how we do that. If we believe we can change ourselves at all, then we are deceived. And are to be pitied. Because we are in church on a Sunday saying certain things, but still trying to improve ourselves. Radical. And Paul says, you're not acting in line with the truth of the gospel of grace. You have fallen from grace. I love that. I love those three words. You've fallen. Fallen from grace. Going back to works. Rather than saved by grace, which is God's unmerited and amazing, extravagant gift of Jesus, his favor to you, received by faith. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace through faith, not works, not self-improvement, but by grace through faith. Galatians 2. We're going to read verse 20. I believe these are the most profound but so important words, scripture, that we can actually live out together. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, so I don't have a dark side. The dark side is dead. I have been, not I am crucifying myself. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body. Here we go. Here I am on earth. How do I live this life in this body? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is found in this verse. You see, the Bible says that everything that was wrong with me, and actually everything that was wrong with the whole world in every generation, past, present, and future, God took all sinners and sin to the cross, and Jesus died in our place, our substitute. He died 2,000 years ago, and he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Which meant that for all eternity, the work has been done of salvation for every person in every time and generation and age. He has finished the work to put us right with God. So he finished it. Why are we taking it up again? Sometimes we just need to tell ourselves, it is finished. Jesus finished the job. And I now, how do I enter into this wonderful life of salvation of Christ in me? I repent, and that means a reorientation of my whole life, not just what I do on a Sunday. To repent means to turn around from a life of sin, trusting yourself, your own good works, and turning to Jesus as the only way into the kingdom. Repent and believe the good news. What is the good news? Through repentance and faith, accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, will mean that the exchange of my life, the old sinner, will go. It already has gone in Christ, but now because I am in Christ, it leaves me because the cross dealt with every sin. It dealt with everything that was wrong with me. And Christ comes to live in me. So there's this exchange of all that was wrong, Jesus took, and all that is right, which is Christ himself, he comes to live in my heart. The scripture puts it like this, that you have a new heart and God puts a new spirit within you. The old stony heart has gone and the new has come. Or as 2 Galatians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. It has passed away. And all things have become new. So I want to tell you, you've passed away. That's why baptism, the water baptism, is a sign of actually what's already happened in you. You died. We're having your funeral service when you go down into the water. And the new person has been raised. A brand new person has been raised to new life through faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's an offense for us to hear that we have a dark side. It's an offense to hear that the devil lives in us. Because Christ lives in us. And we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. No one, Jesus says, can see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. So you are a new person. You're not a bit of old and a bit of new stuck on the top. Your picture is completely different to the one we've just seen, or to what the enemy says, or to what some preachers say, or to even what you may have begun your Christian life in and have gone back to self-improvement. You may have been saved many years, but you might be not preaching the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is he did it all, guys. We can't earn our way to God. The righteousness that comes, it couldn't come through the law. Because the law proved that we could not achieve God's standard, which is holiness. But when Christ came, it was the end of the law. And Christ came and died. And actually, the written law that was written against us was nailed to the cross. So that now, through faith in Him, we are new creations. Made holy and righteous by faith, not experience. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 saved? Right, let's have a checklist. They all got baptized. 3,000. Big baptism service. Imagine us all going into the water on one day. Praise God, let's imagine it. It's a good picture. I mean, not of you because you're already there, but of, you know, hundreds of people being baptized. The apostles were right. Are you right with your mother? You know, have you paid your tithe? Are you still living with that guy? The changed heart and changed life gives power to live a new life. Law tells you what you should do. Grace gives you the power to live what you should be living. This is why the gospel is good news. It's why we better know that actually I've died. I'm not struggling with sin because I died. And I now have a new nature, Christ in me, the hope of glory. The hope of the character of God through my life. That's the hope of glory, the character, the holiness, the love of God, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I have the Holy Spirit who produces fruit in my life. Not by works. In case anybody boasts and says, look how good I've been. I went to the prayer meeting. I've been here 3 weeks. It's time I had a Sunday off. What is that? A system of tick the boxes. Not a new life that loves Jesus and wants to serve Him every day. Thank you, Jesus. In Galatians 5, verse 9, I'd like you to just hear the amplified version. It goes on a bit longer, but it produces a different understanding. Just listen to this amplified version of Galatians 5, 9. A little leaven, or a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers, leavens the whole lump. it perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. Can I run through that again? A little leaven or error or a few false teachers leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. You have a dark side. Can mislead a whole church. Thousands. I know there are thousands of people listening and were and will listen to that word. How many will move into error, thinking they have a dark side, struggling with, oh, I'll never overcome. I always have to fight this sin, this temptation. I can never be free from alcoholism or pornography. I can't be free from sin. I'm struggling every day of my life to put my life right with God. What is that? It's a return to law. And no understanding that actually I died to sin. And now I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. But now I live a different kind of life, a different way. See, the old life I lived by my senses. I lived by what I felt like doing, by my experience, by what people did to me. How many of you lived by what people did to you? You rejected those who rejected you, didn't you? You lived by what you saw you wanted. If somebody painted a picture of a desire, something that became interesting to you, you would move down that road and work to achieve that desire. And now the life we live, we don't live now by our physical senses. Or do we? It's a good question. Do I live by what I feel, what I want, by my desires, by external things coming in, putting pressure on me so I live them? Or do I live? The life I now live, I live by faith. That is the new life, living a new way. I have a new life. I am a new creation. But now I must live a new way. There's no point in having a new life and not living a new way. It won't work for you. It's good preaching. I have to say, I'm getting revelation as I'm preaching. You can't live the Christian life without faith. You can't get saved without faith, but you can't live it without faith. What is faith? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So faith says, I am sure because of Christ in me, I'm righteous. I haven't yet seen a righteous life in every facet, but I am sure of what I hope for. I'm hoping to live a completely righteous life, that at the end of my journey, you will see much more of Jesus than when I began. I have all of him as soon as I get saved. But the outworking of that life is by faith. Not by reacting to situations. It's a retraining. Weaning yourself off your feelings and your experiences. And your thinking. You see, if you think you are still the old you, well, it's my character, I'm ever so shy. Well, I'm moody, you know, it runs in the family. You know, well, my parents had temper tantrums, and now I have a temper. I'm an angry person. I'm not. The angry person died. The alcoholic died. The addict died. The homosexual died. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. It's not for theory. It's not for imagination. It's for freedom. It's for a new life and a new power. It's so easy for us to go back to living by our senses. It's so easy to go back to living with a report on ourselves. I didn't do so well today. People didn't know how mad I was this morning when they asked me to do something in the worship team, but man, I was mad. Did you see that way they talked to me and they asked me to clean the toilets? I wish they'd never asked me to clean the toilets. Then you go home, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Once again, I've messed up. I've been mad. And even on the way, I got mad with my husband. You know, all these things, struggles. I just think we need to look at God's portrait long enough for us to believe it. And to not live with these struggles of what we feel or think. The devil will put a thought in your mind and you'll think it's yours. And it'll take you down a road. But God has put his spirit in you. And if your mind is who you are now in Christ, you're going to live a different life. You know, the revelation of being holy. The Bible says that Jesus has made us holy and perfect. It's not by performance, guys. It's not by your last week's list. It's not by your self-effort. It is by faith. And it has to be by grace through faith. But what we believe is what we will live. If you believe you're holy, you will walk different. You will dress different. You won't have too much flesh out. Ladies. Guys, you won't have your eyes in the wrong place. Because if you believe you are, that conviction of who you are is like, what would I want to do? Messing around in the gutter. Because people in the gutter attract others in the gutter. And I want holy friends. I want to attract people by living holy. Good preaching this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to walk as a king under the King of Kings. I don't want to walk like this. Poor me. It's only me. Lots of excuses. I'm a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That gives me value. It gives me authority. It gives me power with heaven to change everything. I am not the tail. I am the head. Satan no longer is my father. God is my father. And if you show me another picture, because I know the real picture, I'll say, that isn't me. It's so important that you know that you died. That there was absolutely nothing good about you before you became a believer. That you were downright rotten and crooked through and through. Totally unacceptable to God. You needed Jesus more than you will ever know. And if you've grown up in a Christian family and come to church because mum and dad always have, you need Jesus. You need to be born again. You must make a choice to follow Jesus all the days of your life. This is the gospel. The cross has liberated us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. But the cross has dealt with the sinner. The old person died. So I'm not constantly living under the need of the blood to forgive me. I'm living under the power of being a new creation. You see, the cross and resurrection empowered me to be different. I am different. I am completely different. I don't care what you think of me. I'm a new person. You might judge me by some of my reactions or responses. You might judge me by how you think you see me. But I know who I am. That's why when I hear somebody say, I've got a dark side, I say, oh no, mister, I don't have. Because my Jesus liberated me from a dark side. This is the gospel. That you don't just have forgiveness of sins. You are a new person. You're not depressed. You're not sick. You're not weak. You're not unhealthy. You're not poor. You're not in a sorry state. How's anybody in Christ in a sorry state? Let the penny drop, Holy Spirit. Because if you get, you died because you needed to, and now you live because Christ lives in you, you will see who you are and you will change the world. But if you think you've got to work to win people to Christ, work to be righteous, work to try and go be kind of tick all the boxes, you will never enjoy the Christian life. You will never live in power, and you will always live defeated. Because Christ in us is the victory. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm trusting this message is going to cheer you up. And if you can't hear it today, listen to it again and again until it changes your life. Because your picture may have been so negative. You may have been taught the wrong stuff for years. You may have thought the Christian life is all about just going to church, being forgiven occasionally, God loves me, bless me. No, it's all about Jesus actually radically making you a new person. The old person doesn't get into heaven. Only a new creation goes to heaven. Not just because your sins have been forgiven, but because you are a new person. You go to heaven because you're new. Because everything Jesus did is perfect. It is finished. You're not going to get to heaven and go, oh, let's have a look at this new creation called Brian. Right, well then, we've got some tweaking to do. He'll say, new creation, you're welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for liberating power of the gospel. Let's look at God's portrait of us. Nearly finished. Full of peace. Free. Kind. Healed. Gracious. This is you. I said this is you. Tell somebody next to you, this is me. An overcomer. That means you're a winner. Every temptation, you have the power to overcome. Sin no longer has power over you. There is no excuse. Well, the devil made me do it. It was such a difficult temptation. What needs to happen is actually, you see, this guy was excusing the church to carry on behaving like they wanted to behave. You've got a dark side, you'll always struggle. Yeah, just going back on the computer, honey. Because it's an excuse. Well, I'll never be free, so I may as well enjoy it. That's feeding the flesh, that's sowing to the flesh. Whoever sows to the flesh reaps corruption, reaps death. But whoever sows to the Spirit, which is the Word of God, feeding your spirit with the Word, the new man responds to the Word, then they reap life. And this is what we're doing this morning, sowing to the Spirit. You're an overcomer. You're joyful. Currently, you might look miserable, but the truth is you are joyful. Good, come on, let's have a laugh, shall we? You're sound-minded. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You're capable. Thank you, Jesus. You're greatly loved. I said you're greatly loved. You're greatly loved. You're loved perfectly. How great is the Father's love that He has lavished upon us, that we who are born again should be called children of God. Thank you, Jesus. You're strong. Well, I don't feel strong. Well, who says it's about what you feel? The life I live by my feelings. And I end up in an absolute mess. Or the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Where is the Son of God? In me. I'm not waiting for Him to do something. He's already done it. I've already got the life to overcome and to live in power and strength every day of my life. But I can't live on yesterday's faith. I can't say yesterday I was strong, but I'm feeling a bit weaker today. All I have to do is believe in the power of God Himself in me, and I can live strong today. Because faith releases the Christ in me. If you're not living by faith, you have Christ in you. All of this is true, but you don't release the power. And therefore, you don't live in the power. But we're talking about living in the power of what Jesus has done, not just theory. You're chosen. You're powerful. You're righteous and holy. You're merciful. You're patient. You're blessed. You've got authority over all the power of the enemy. You're not a loser. You're not a loser. You're never going to be a loser. Because Christ is in you. He has won every battle. Amen. And so this is the gospel of grace. But we struggle with truth versus experience. Our experiences can make us go kind of weak and wobbly. Oh, I felt something. Or they said something about me. What's true? It's not true. It really isn't true. That's trying to believe. Because if you really believe it's not true, you'll say, I don't have to say very much, but that's not me. It's not me. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Who are you going to hang in your pictures every day? Who's in your frame? Is it what self says, people say, the devil says, or is it what God says? We've got to get the frame clear. The picture absolutely clear. God's portrait. You see, the power is in the new creation. I am different. Can I have the next slide, please? I am different, so I will live different. Yes. Before I can live different, I must believe I am different. You see, I can only live out of who I am. And so first things first, I must believe that I am different. And then I will live it. You might be hearing these words and saying, well, that just is not in my experience. But your experience will change as soon as you believe the truth. If you want to change your future, start believing this stuff. The struggles you have emotionally, the struggles you have with your past will disappear just by believing the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Do we have any believers? Yes? We believe the truth, and the truth sets us free. The life I now live, I live not by feelings, not by what Mum says, not by what the church says. Because sometimes the church, or people, or even other preachers. That's why we must test everything according to truth. We now live by faith in the Son of God. I believe that God gives me the love I need for every day. My resources aren't in my natural life self. They're in Christ in me. Now let's look at this. It's all a question of whose portrait will you believe. Let's just finish with this. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I am different, so now I live a different life. I am holy. I'm blameless. I'm free from sin. I'm not a depressive, and I'm not an addict. I'm powerful, confident, accepted, valued, secure, and loved in Christ. What an amazing portrait. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not pretending to be accepted or working at being right with God. I am righteous by faith and not by works, but I'll show you my faith by what I do. So because I am, I live by faith, and therefore I will show you my lifestyle. A Christian living, so somebody who has repented and believed and received Jesus, living in sin, either doesn't know the truth, or there is a possibility in Hebrews 6 of going so far into sin through your choice. You see, a Christian has choice. An unbeliever doesn't. An unbeliever is a sinner. You're not. You're a holy one. You're a saint. But you can go so far that you, once again, it talks about crucifying the Lord again. You can read that. I'm not going to go into it today because it's bad news. So you can go so far and get into a lot of trouble with the Lord. But I'm talking to people who want to follow Jesus this morning, am I? I'm talking to people who really have made a decision. You see, salvation isn't just an event. It's an outworking of a new life and following Jesus every day. So I am righteous by faith, but I'll show you my faith by what I do. Now, this is the good news of the gospel. The good news of not believing everything every preacher says. Checking it out with the word and hearing the word this morning, I trust has done you a whole lot of good. That you died. If you believe in Jesus, you died. And a new person has been raised to life. And that new person is created in the image of God, created in Christ Jesus. And therefore, no one can say you're not good enough. No one can say you'll never make the grade, because Christ has given you the victory in everything. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.